Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with
Dan,
Chris,
and Lee.
Got it the right way around this week.
Yes.
Yeah, didn't throw us all off. I'll kilt us straight away.
I'll try harder, or try less hard, or something.
Something like that.
I will modify my trying. So, well, let's just talk about Formula One instead.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Right, first thing this week, Paul DiResta, surprisingly back.
Yeah, a little bit of a surprise.
Paul DiResta, the Williams tester.
Ah, nice. Very good.
Nice. Or reserve driver. But that doesn't rhyme.
No.
Reserve drivers rarely get used unless there's a contract dispute or somebody falls ill, though, don't they? Let's be honest. Yeah.
Friday moment.
Sometimes Friday morning, that's test and development driver.
Mm.
Whoever the side's put in is just, I don't. They may have already have.
They own Alex Lynn, don't they? So
essentially, yes. So he might get a couple of Friday mornings.
Yeah, Williams have actually said that he will be ready to step into the car if required.
Which is an odd thing to say.
I think it's odd hiring him in the first place. I mean, I like Paul DiResta.
I like Paul DiResta.
I think he should be on the grid. I think he's a better driver than a few people that have got drives, that are in the cars this year. So,
yeah.
But it seems a strange choice, doesn't it?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, not. I mean, Mercedes obviously owned him. He's driving for him in DTM.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Taking Wöhrlein's seat.
In DTM?
In DTM.
Right, okay.
But we've got our own couple of conspiracy theories about why he's there.
Shall I go with my slightly less convoluted one first?
Yeah,
convoluted. First.
Convoluted and not in a poor way. I mean, because we'll get to Dan's in a second.
Yeah, this is only enough tinfoil to wrap a small sandwich, not
correct.
An entire head.
I believe that Felipe Massa is going to probably retire from the sport or be booted out of Williams should he continue to perform as he has done.
Funny you should mention that because he said he wants another 2 or 3 years only this week. Yeah, is he going to get it?
No, but and he said that that was in the news the day DiResta was
hired.
Confirmed as the reserve driver.
Yeah, and Valtteri Bottas, dependent on form, Bottas can go one or two ways this year. He can become the future Ferrari driver that we spoke about this time last year, or he could become the middle of 2015 Valtteri Bottas, who was very, very poor and didn't seem to have his head in the right place.
Lucky to get in a Sauber.
Yeah, so he could move out of Williams upwards, or he could move out of Williams downwards. Either way, I think if Williams' fortunes don't change this year, they're going to have to look at changing their driver lineup. And if they change both drivers, they're going to want an experienced driver in. Williams very rarely change their drivers and have two rookies in the car. I'll be
very surprised if they get rid of Bottas next year.
But Bottas might go by himself. And I think they'll probably ask Felipe nicely to just step aside for.
No, but I don't know where Bottas would go because.
If he performs well this year, he'll either go to Ferrari.
I think that's failed. I think that's gone now.
It might have done.
Because there's too many other drivers around that would be the Ferrari caliber, the likes of Verstappen, for instance.
Yeah, but he could come. Verstappen could fall off the cliff this year, and Bottas could be back to being super fast finish ice boy.
Mm.
It really depends on Bottas's performances.
Yeah.
But I think Williams are looking at a contingency plan for their driver lineup for 2017. The new regulations, they're going to want at least one very experienced driver in there.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, DiResta doesn't have any experience of the turbo era Formula One cars because his 2 years in Formula One were 2012 and 2013.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that they would put Paul DiResta in
2011 as well.
Did he do 2011 as well?
Yeah.
He's a good enough driver, though, isn't
yeah.
he? Where I don't think that'd be an issue.
So you've got Paul DiResta in one of the Williams seats. I believe if the other one becomes free, that they'll probably rehire Felipe Nasr, who came through to Williams as a reserve driver before he joined Sauber.
I don't know. I think Alex Lynn stands more of a chance if it's going to be a complete change next year.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But that's my thinking is that they've got him on board just in case, just as a mere contingency, just in case we have to change our driver lineup. But Dan has a slightly more in-depth
more convoluted, and it came out of a conversation earlier. Before joining the Force India team, Paul de Resta was racing in DTM for Mercedes.
Yes.
Then he moved to the Mercedes-powered Force India. And when that seat got taken away from him, he moved back to the Mercedes DTM squad. The thinking being, Mercedes are quite a fan of Paul de Resta.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's reserve driver for the Mercedes Williams team.
Yeah.
Now, is there any possibility that next year Mercedes might be looking for a driver?
A new number two driver, perchance.
A number two driver who would... I think if they are looking for an extra driver, they are not going to want a potential world champion. They want someone solid, but not someone who's going to be fighting with their number one driver.
They don't want a Daniel Ricciardo. They don't a Valtteri Bottas.
They don't want the Alonso Hamilton
scenario.
They want a Rubens Barrichello.
Yeah.
Someone young enough to perform, but old enough where he knows he'll be lucky to get back into Formula One and
so
just
the
play
line.
The team game.
Yeah. Mm. Someone who's...
Hamilton's Kovalainen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's lots of money, do what we tell you. Thank you and yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hamilton's retired, can you win the race for us? Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they're lining him up for a return to Formula One in the Mercedes team.
Well,
as Lewis's wingman.
As Lewis's wingman.
And he's great PR as well.
Have you met the podium?
It would be interesting to know how Lewis gets on with de Resta.
If they've got any history, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Paul de Resta's teammates at Force India were Nico Hülkenberg, who is still held in very high regard as a driver in sport, and Adrian Sutil. Now, if you remember, Adrian Sutil and Lewis Hamilton were great friends up until the point where Adrian Sutil decided to have a fracas with somebody in a nightclub and Lewis Hamilton was a witness for the defence.
Oh, yes, fracas gate. The original fracas gate.
Not the top year fracas gate.
He wasn't a witness at all, was he?
He testified against Adrian Sutil.
Oh, I didn't know he testified. I thought he wouldn't testify for him. I thought that's what it was. He just wanted to stay out of it.
Possibly. But
anyway, he didn't have his back.
Yeah, they fell out over that. They fell out massively over that because they were really good friends for years through previous Formula.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can't imagine Lewis Hamilton falling out with someone who's been friends with for years through previous Formula.
No, it's a difficult one to envisage, isn't it?
Yeah. I can't imagine Lewis Hamilton having friends. And they could start a fight in a phone box.
There is something about Sutil, though, isn't there? The guy looked like a prick. You know, just sometimes when you see somebody and you go, yeah, I knob you.
I wouldn't want to say anything in case I bump into him in a nightclub.
Yeah.
Well, duck.
Just, yeah. You just don't like his face, but I mean, he was one of those drivers who promised an awful lot and then didn't really deliver very much. And that's why I think he's found himself without a Formula One seat. Whereas Paul de Resta was a victim of circumstance where Hülkenberg was coming back to the Force India team and Perez found himself without a seat after his unsuccessful year at McLaren. And it was toss up between Perez and de Resta and they went with Perez, which has worked out great for Force India, don't get me wrong, but it did mean that de Resta's had a few years out of Formula One.
It's worked out okay, but there's nothing to say that de Resta wouldn't have done better than both those drivers in the same car.
Well, what I was about to say was... Adrian Sutil, who was regarded as a perfectly decent replacement for Nico Hülkenberg when he had a year at Sauber, when they swapped seats for that 1 year. I believe Paul de Resta completely wiped the floor with Adrian Sutil as teammate that year in performance. I'm not sure about points-wise, but in performances, generally just overtaking his teammate and outperforming him in qualifying. So we know that Paul de Resta can do the job that he's asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was at Singapore he scored his best ever result. He finished fourth.
Yeah.
Fourth appears to be a very good result for Force India,
mm-hmm.
In years gone by. But we joke that Hulk finishes fifth quite often.
Or is in fifth.
Or is in fifth. And come on. Are we going to see a Force India in fifth this year? Possibly.
Could do.
Some people are saying that they're the best of the rest.
Mm.
The best of the rest. Of...
Oh,
sorry. But it's known that he can do the job, that the rest could do the job. I'm sure that the rest would be able to do the job that both drivers do now.
Mm.
Will he get a chance in a Williams this year? Unlikely. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that what Dan said is true.
Mm. Just an interesting point, I'd forgotten this one actually. Adrian Sutil was the Williams reserve driver last season.
I hadn't remembered that.
Yeah, I'd completely forgotten. I had just looked that up. And he joined after Australia last year when Bottas did his back in. It was looking iffy at one point if he was going to be able to drive. So they got Sutil in as reserve driver, and then Bottas went, oh, my back's better, in a more Finnish accent than that.
Yeah, but I don't remember ever seeing Adrian Sutil in Williams gear backstage in the paddock, you know, sort of just milling around.
I remember seeing him in the paddock for, you know, when that happened, but, well, on television. But,
you know, we don't get invited to races yet.
If anyone wants to invite us to a race, we're more than happily come.
Yeah, if anybody here is a member of the Paddock Club and has four passes to give away to a Formula One race, just let us know.
Yeah.
We'll turn up and we'll do the show with you live from the paddock in the Formula One paddock, wherever you happen to have.
You can even,
we will bring biscuits.
We will.
Yeah,
you can even join in with the live race blog that we always do, which will be on the site this weekend at 3legs4wheels.com.
Seamless promotion.
Of course.
We're hoping there's a guy out there that's filthy rich that gets tickets to go to the Paddock Club every year. And
just can't afford his own biscuits.
And he's just sat there going, oh, I love Formula One, but I'm so lonely.
just hire us. We'll go with you.
Yeah, we didn't get the Channel 4 job, so we'll just be your Channel 4.
Yeah, if you don't want to watch.
We didn't get the Channel 4 job. We didn't go for the Channel 4 job.
We did.
We weren't invited to apply.
No.
No, that's true. But that kind of leaves us in the same position as Alex Zanardi.
Yeah.
Well,
I won't stand for that.
No, I was waiting for that. Well, no, because, I mean, they said pre-launch that he was going to be part of the team, and then they did the launch, and he wasn't, and he's now tweeted saying, I was never going to be part of the team. I don't know what they're talking about. Chris, as you called him earlier, the opposite of Guido van der Garde.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely the opposite. Yeah.
I'm not turning up because I haven't been asked to turn up. Well, at least we're not going to see that from van der Garde this year.
Hopefully.
Yeah. While we're on the subject of Sauber, they are a technical director short.
Yes, this is... We mentioned last week that they failed to pay some staff.
Which they have since paid.
They have since paid, which I don't want to hang around on the fact that they're waiting for incoming monies that obviously came in and now they have gone out again.
But, Mark Smith, the technical director that was only hired last June, left.
I wonder if he's thrown himself on a sword. You know, because technical directors tend to be... quite expensive, and I would imagine if they don't have to pay him, then they could pay the staff.
But I'd also imagine that quite a lot of his job, which is setting the direction of the team, is done by now.
Do you think?
Has he looked at the numbers of this year's car after that one test, and looked at the numbers that the other cars are producing and gone, sorry guys, I'm out of here. Can't have my name on this. And has just walked before the beginning of the season because he knows full well that Sauber C35 is a dog.
I think it's more to do with money. I think the...
Well, the official line is he's decided to go back to the UK for family reasons.
Which might be completely feasible because that's...
It's a big old cliche, spending more time with his family.
Is Sauber based in the UK then?
No, they're based in Switzerland.
Oh, right. I just took for granted that... No matter where they were based, their factory was in England.
No, they are based in Switzerland.
Yeah. And the but you got to remember, a lot of people involved with Formula One do travel around the world a lot. So if you know somebody, a parent, or you know anybody else is sort of ill, you would expect people to take extended periods of leave. It's happened. I think it was Patrick Head a few years ago.
To leave the team.
Possibly, may well have done.
If the team is struggling financially and he's going to be away for a long period of time, he might have said,
"Let me do the honourable thing." Yeah. But it's not good news for Sauber. We do want to speculate because that's what
Realistically, we don't. Although it says he was a technical director, we don't know what other staff they have in that team or how integral his role was at this point.
Yeah, so. I mean, well, I guess we'll find that out over the next few weeks if they hire somebody in a comparable job or get a new technical director in.
Ross Brawn.
Talk him out of going fishing.
Yeah. Well, he's been fishing for a long time now, Ross.
Do you reckon he's caught anything yet?
Speed that boat goes, I don't think you can.
Mike Gascoigne. He's perfectly suited for
Mike Gascoigne must be... Since catering went kaboom, Mike Gascoigne has been sat there waiting for a phone call from an other Formula One team. Yeah.
The problem is he doesn't actually know that his phone's not plugged in. Shall we talk about something else?
Yeah.
Shall we have this week's Lewis's hacked off story?
Well, we can, but is he people?
Well, what's he hacked off about this week?
I'm not allowed to tell you. It's the new radio regulations. Lewis.
What can you tell us?
What I can tell you is I could tell you if there was a critical problem with your car. Or a competitor's car.
Is there a critical problem with my car or a competitor's car?
No, that's why I'm not telling you anything. I'm not going to go through the full list because it's very long, very dull, very boring, and also very all over the internet. And if you're listening to this, I am guessing you've got internet access in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it's...
Because we don't send out as many TDK tapes of this show as we used to.
No. On C90s.
Yeah, TDK D90s.
D90s.
Yep. The album recorder's favourite.
Nice. But the regulations were tightened, was it last year or the year before?
Well, they wanted to bring it in after the summer break last year.
Yeah.
When everything was going to be ready for Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided that they weren't going to. There are a few things that they still are allowed to say with regard to things like tactics, like push hard, push now, you will be racing somebody, and I'm guessing Lewis, it's hammer time.
Mm-hmm.
Things like traffic warnings, if they're coming up on back markers.
So safety things.
Safety things, tyre choice
at
the next pit stop.
What can they not say? Can they not tell you the competitors' lap times or anything like that anymore?
They can tell... No, they can say competitors' lap times.
But not sector times or where... Because remember, like, early last season, it was Nico is 1/10 faster through turn 4, and then it was...
Yeah,
like,
but that's driver coaching, isn't it? Just merely saying Nico's first sector is a 1:35, yours is a 1:32, isn't driver coaching, is it?
It's
merely telling you a statistic.
It's also a very long lap if the first sector is 1 minute.
Yeah, but it's like how such. What was it, Lewis last year? How such and such driving? Can't tell you that, Lewis. What's the weather like? The weather's fine.
Yeah, the weather is fine, Lewis. The weather is good.
They're not allowed to do the whole change the engine map thing.
Right.
So
No strap mode,
and if you don't turn down, we'll tell Nico to turn up.
So the drivers have to decide that now?
Yes.
That's quite good. That might make things interesting.
It's going to make things interesting come fuel time.
Yeah. Next. Because you'll have Lewis who'll want to do the whole race on like strap mode aggressive, and we'll get told, you're using too much fuel. You should probably back off a little bit.
Is he allowed to be told that?
Is he be allowed to be told you're using too much fuel?
That would be a performance thing, wouldn't it, I suppose? Because
they're
allowed to say, you're doing wrong, the car's going to blow up.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine you're doing wrong, you're going to run out of fuel, as also said.
Yeah, it could come under things like, where am I looking? Information concerning damage to the car. You are damaging your fuel tank by making it
lighter.
Yeah.
We know that the teams will come up with code and things for various parts of the car that they shouldn't do.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll hear like little codes like over the radio, like Lewis, C43, and we won't know what that means, but he'll be like, oh,
clean up in aisle two.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
No, it's like Red Bull's magic button.
Yeah.
Multi
21.
Now, the most convoluted one is, see if you stay with me on this because it's also boring.
Right, so well, if you're doing something really important, just stop.
Yeah.
If you're driving, pull over to the side of the road just in case we send you to say that.
Yeah.
Just listen very carefully to this next few minutes.
Instructions to select driver defaults for the sole purpose of mitigating loss of function of a sensor, actuator or controller whose degradation or failure was not detected and handled by the onboard software. In accordance with Article 8.2.4, any new setting chosen in this way must not enhance the performance of the car beyond that prior to the loss of function.
So they're allowed to say, have you tried turning it off and on again?
Yes.
What's Article 8.2.4?
I don't know, I've lost
it's the
word.
Article that says you're not allowed to turn the performance up when you're giving drivers instructions.
Oh, right.
So if a system breaks down, if you do something manually, it's not allowed to be better.
Right. So if you turn it off and turn it on again, it's got to work the same as it did before you turned it off.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's got to work. It's got to be the same as it did before it broke and you turned it off.
You can't have the driver come on and say this sensor or actuator has broken, and the garage go, okay, put it into super zoom mode. They have to say put it into crawl mode.
Yeah.
What I don't like the look of is the. I know Mercedes were running one. I think Williams were running one as well. Ferrari might have been at some point in testing. With these cameras on the tyres, did you see any of you see those?
Was that not just to watch the degradation then?
No, well, it was a thermal camera, and who's your man from Mercedes? You speak McLaren.
Paddy Lowe.
Yes, he turned around and said, "Oh, well, we're using it to check tyre temperatures.
Yeah.
We think it'll be off the car in Australia." Then he said, but if when we run the data, if it doesn't have any detrimental effects to aero performance, we might just leave it on the car. And I really, really don't like the idea of them having like just cameras trained on wheels, because it's another thing, isn't it, where the race is going to be dictated by computer programs.
I know what you mean.
It's
Formula One, and teams always find a way around these things.
Yeah, if it doesn't say that it's not allowed in the rules, then they will try and get away with it.
Which is really.
When we did the podcast when we were looking at the new cars after the first test, were they the bubbles in the floor that we spotted?
No, they were actual GoPros attached to the wing.
Yeah.
Actual just GoPros.
They looked like GoPros.
What, the thermal things?
Yeah.
No, they were. It was a big round thing mounted on the airbox.
Oh, right.
Like McLaren's cyst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, but on the side of the airbox.
Ooh.
McLaren's cyst, if that appears in Australia, people are going to start asking severe questions.
Yeah, like, what the hell is it?
Yeah, well, I think people...
It's a goiter.
I think people around McLaren are going to be asking questions anyway, but we'll get to that anyway.
Stuck on for the McLaren Quaid.
One thing that we didn't write down, but probably old news by now, but the US Grand Prix has been confirmed.
Yes.
Woohoo!
It's been saved by Taylor Swift.
Well, that's what they're using as a marketing point.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift didn't turn up at Austin and go, "This is mine now." I own this.
She didn't date it and dump it and write a song about it.
Not yet.
Which I believe is her thing.
She came in like the opposite of a wrecking ball.
That's Miley Cyrus.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
How can you tell the difference?
I'd smash both of them.
Like a wrecking ball.
Okay. One of them was in 2.5 Men. I'm really doing nothing for my credibility here, am I?
I think the difference between them is, I think, like, if you went to a party with them, Miley Cyrus would bring more drugs.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Taylor Swift would sit in the corner and write a song about how sad she was that all of her friends went and took drugs.
No, I'm pretty sure she'd bring some drugs, but not Cyrus drugs.
We've gone on a bit of a tangent here, guys.
Yeah.
A bit.
I might have to put some Jacques in to blank out for that. Nah, I won't. Now we've got the explicit thing we can do.
Miley Cyrus turned up at a gig.
Nah, we'll stop.
Smoking a joint out like on stage.
No. Drugs are bad, okay?
Yeah, and banned in Formula One as well.
Yes.
Yeah, World Doping Agency started testing Formula One drivers.
Don't do drugs, kids. Save them for me.
But yeah, bring us to a race. Yeah, okay. Right, Australia. First thing we'll talk about, the tyres.
Yes.
Because how the hell do they work? Well, I know they're round rubber things that go on each corner of the car and it goes round and then they have to change them.
They're inflated in with...
In-depth Formula One analysis here. Oh, three legs, four wheels.
Oh, yeah.
They're inflated with gas that is not air.
Usually nitrogen.
Yes.
As came out in Spygate.
Mm.
But no, the tyre choices, or the tyre set choices for Australia, Pirelli released those...
Was it last Tuesday?
Last Tuesday, conveniently just after we'd finished recording.
Yeah, so it's old news now.
It's old news now,
to the
but...
podcast.
Something that needs picking apart. The three compounds, as we all know and have known for a while, even before they changed the qualifying, and we'll get to that in a bit, is the mediums, the softs, and the super softs, or white, yellow, and red, for those watching in black and white. Between that, the teams have got 13 sets, and the drivers can choose how many of each. Everyone has gone with one or two sets of the mediums, except for Manor, who have gone with four.
Four sets of mediums.
Now, are they expecting just to use the softer ones in qualifying, just so they can get in 107% and get a time, and then use the mediums in the race, and try and make up some ground through having to stop less?
Drag the car around, hopefully some people will crash, hopefully some people will break down. Maybe if there's a penalty, they might scratch a point. That's what they'll be thinking.
That's possible, but I mean, it's a lot of sets. I mean, that's a lot of sets of mediums.
It's a negative way to go racing.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it is a negative way to go. It's playing it too safe.
Yeah, but also, is Lewis Hamilton and, Alonso Button and Ericsson with their one medium tyre choice, are they playing it too aggressively?
Actually, there's quite a few that are only going for one set of mediums. Hamilton, Bottas, Massa, Magnussen, Palmer, Alonso, Button, Ericsson, and Grosjean.
Yeah. Grosjean as well. Don't forget, this is just a new choice, isn't it? At any other year, it would just be the softs and the super softs, so why wouldn't soft and super softs be the way to go now?
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's going to transpire quite quickly during practice which are the right tyres to choose for the race, but it just seems very odd that the Manor drivers have gone for four sets of mediums, four sets of softs, and five super softs.
They're not racing anybody. That's what it is, I don't think. You know, they're not actually racing.
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. They might yet be racing McLaren.
No.
You just died a little, haven't you?
They might be racing Sauber.
They won't be racing Sauber. Sauber will still be over a second a lap faster than them.
Could be.
Yeah, especially.
Are we talking about McLaren or Manor?
Everyone will be seconds ahead of Manor.
But the a lot of the field have gone for the seven sets of super softs, which says that there's going to be a lot of drivers trying to go as easy on the tyres as possible.
Yeah.
If they're going for that many. Obviously, the new qualifying regulations are changing things round quite a bit, because I think these were actually chosen before the new regulations came into play.
Yeah.
And then there's all the giving your Q3 tyres back if you got into Q3, or getting to keep them if you don't, and... There's videos out there of Ted Kravitz explaining it with sweets.
He does it better than we do without visuals.
And there's only one of him and a packet of sweets, and they can do it better than the four of us.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to be seeing more aggressive strategies from some of the drivers, especially, looking down sort of the Williams drivers, both Red Bulls, both Renaults, the Toro Rossos. I'm going to be seeing three stoppers from them if they've got a lot of sets of super softs.
It's possible. It's
a three stopper is the quickest way around Australia, isn't it? I think I remember the year in. You know, if everything works right and you fall into nice, you know, pockets of free air when you stop, I think a three-stopper is the quickest way around it.
I can't say with any certainty, to be honest with you.
And it's going to depend on how the tyres behave this year.
Yeah,
because, I mean, the compounds as a whole are actually slightly... They're all slightly softer than last year's models were.
But are they longer lasting as well?
We don't know. That's going to be the issue.
This is all going to be dictated by qualifying, because people going into a qualifying session that they're not fully comfortable with, and they, you know, it's going to take 3-4 races for them to get down with what they're doing in qualifying. So I think they will have to play race strategies if they're dictating the race strategies on Saturday before qualifying, essentially. They'll have to go conservative because they don't know what's going on the Saturday afternoon.
It's just going to be difficult to speculate exactly what's going on until we've actually seen this qualifying work in situ on Saturday.
Oh. At 5 in the morning.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, other times are available.
But don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, just going back to last year's Australian Grand Prix. The night before the race, a friend of mine said, why can't they have the Formula One at a normal time? Why has it got to be at 5 in the morning? To which about 4 of us pointed out, it's in Australia. It is a normal time for them. I'm not mentioning the name of the person that said it, but she is a fully qualified and employed school teacher.
Geography?
Infants.
Oh.
She obviously hasn't done telling the time with them yet.
Or at least not telling the time in Australia
with
them.
Yeah, that might be a little bit specialised for a school on the island.
Yes.
So, should we just talk about the race itself and what we think?
But just leading on from the point I just made, it's going to be difficult to really predict anything until we've seen how this qualifying actually works.
Good point, actually, yes.
Let's speculate randomly.
Let's do more speculation, because we haven't done enough of that tonight.
Oh, no.
The only true constant in Formula One was sacked by Lewis.
Yes.
Yeah, we have kind of got a vaguely new feature to replace that, which we will come to later.
We will do, indeed.
So the way that qualifying is going to work, I still haven't had clarification of when the cut-off times are every 90 seconds. Is it the lap that you're on, or is it 90 seconds, that's it, regardless of where you are on the track, you're done if you're slowest?
Yeah, I believe it's you're done wherever you are.
I think it's you get to finish the lap you're on.
It would make sense if it was finish the lap that you're on.
Yeah.
But then the other 90 seconds would nearly be up. And then you'd have to wait until they all finish their laps.
But in qualifying up to the end of last season, it wasn't when the checkered flag dropped, it was the lap that you were on.
Yeah.
So this time, are we just going to have effectively more checkered flags?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
So you can't start a new one, but you can finish this one and try and get faster.
Yeah.
Because
And then do a cool-down lap.
Which you'll have to do.
Unless you're told in the middle of your flying lap that, no, sorry, you're out, pull into the pits at the end of this lap.
I know what you mean. Actually, I think Flood might be right. Because that's...
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to have people who are going to be like right at the back of Q2.
Your 90 seconds would be permanently staggered.
Yeah, and you'd find like the drivers who are in danger of dropping out would just be flying around, constant flying laps for like 8 or 9 laps.
Yeah. Mind you, I suppose it's not. Everyone's got the same. Everyone's got to deal with the same rules, you know. So. And if again, in the same way as when you stick a car out to go around to go and qualify, you know you're at the last about any stage of qualifying, really, and you go across the line like 5 seconds before qualifying's up to start your fast lap, if they can work that out, then they can work out how to get a car over the line on a fast lap within the 90 seconds, you know.
Finally, I have found it. It is 90 seconds. That's it. Regardless, you're out.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think that's going to be as much of a much of a big deal.
At the end of the session, you are allowed to complete the lap if you started it before the checkered flag.
Right.
At the end of Q1, Q2, and Q3.
So that still stands.
Yes. But at the 90-second point, you are out. Like I say, it's going to be tough for Belgium.
Very.
Well, yeah, I mean...
But a lap's, well, you know...
Lap's about 110 seconds.
Yeah, but you, that's only if you take it for granted that everyone is going to cross the line when the 90 seconds starts.
Well, even so, a 90 seconds is going to finish when you're somewhere around the... So it doesn't matter if you start the lap.
Yeah, no, but I don't think it matters that much. Yeah, well, someone's going to get eliminated sometime and somewhere. I mean, it would be horrendously bad luck for you to start your flying lap and be in the drop zone and your 90 seconds starts when you start your flying lap, because you might as well just pull over. You're done. But I'd argue that's probably a team mistake. You know, if you're out there, that's a strategy thing, isn't it?
You are going to have people just flying around all the time.
No, but we know where time is. So if all of a sudden you start trying to start a lap in 90 seconds that you can't get round the track in time, that's your team's made a mistake there.
Yeah, but you can't all be going over the line at exactly the same time.
let's see how it works in Australia before we try and work out what'll happen in Belgium.
Yeah.
Speculation aside, Niki Lauda thinks it's really stupid.
Niki Lauda might be right.
Yeah, I think he might actually have a point.
He might also have a vested interest.
He's also Austrian, and they tend not to mince their words when they think something about things.
Yeah, that is true.
He's also got the fastest driver and the fastest team, who've won the world championships for the last 2 years, and he wants fucking nothing to change.
Yeah, he also told Gazzetta dello Sport, "I am part of the strategic group, and Bernie Eccleston arrived and told us that he wanted to change something in terms of the pole position to make it more exciting. His first proposal was to invert the grid and have the top time start in 10th. So this is a director of a team that had 18 out of 19 fastest times in qualifying last season.
Yeah. Doesn't want the fastest time to mean you start at the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colour me shocked.
Yeah. Vested interest or anything?
That's another reason that the reverse grid wouldn't want reverse grids in Formula 1, isn't it? Not just because you're going to start less, but teams like to say, we started on pole position X amount of times this year. Where if you start mixing it up,
yeah, you start on pole position, but pole position is 10th on the grid. Yeah, yeah. Which, to be honest,
we qualified fastest and we finished first.
Yeah.
With the amount of potential engine penalties, it could be the fastest one starts in
10th. Oh god, I hope we don't have that fucking bullshit.
We're gonna have it, but we'll be all right for at least the first four races because teams won't have used all four power units by then.
Well, probably.
Yeah.
McLaren, we are looking at you.
Yeah. Roll on next year when all this fucking token bullshit's gone and all, you know, the engine fucking limit.
Shall we start talking about looking forward to Sunday?
Yeah. Early. Let's preview the race.
Let's preview the race. We've finally got a race to talk about for the first time this year.
Yeah.
The race, which of course you can follow on the live blog at 3legs4wheels.com. I'm not letting up on that.
No, you're not.
No, flipping
out. I will be up and blogging the race live as it happened. Join us on the site. Hopefully you'll be able to leave comments, or you know, you can tweet us as well. Whilst the race is going on, if you spot something that we miss.
Yeah, hey, there's a thought. I should be able to start blogging while there's a couple of takeaways still doing pizza deliveries.
We should do this.
So yes. join us for F1 and pizza on Sunday morning.
Absolutely, and we will be describing our pizzas in great detail.
So, new season, New start for some.
For some.
For some. Continuation of last season for others.
Mm-hmm.
What are we looking forward to this weekend?
McLaren
something,
winning.
Something different happening. McLaren winning would be amazing. But something different happening. Just, there's been so much kick up and fuss about. It's maybe not such a great change from 2015 going into 2016, but let's not have Mercedes comfortably ahead by miles, Ferrari a little bit behind them, and then everybody else just doing what they're doing.
I don't think the
and if they are, let's have really great racing in that midfield pack.
But I don't think the horse has bolted yet for the Ferrari to be on par with or ahead of Mercedes. I don't think we know that yet.
No, well, we don't know anything.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
We'll only know that on Saturday.
Unless you're really close to the sport. I don't think anybody
I know,
really
I
knows anything.
I don't think even the teams know. I don't think Ferrari or Mercedes know.
Well, I mean,
they stand against each other.
Toto Wolff in the official Mercedes preview basically just stopped short saying, we haven't got a clue how good the Ferrari is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've not got the full quote to hand, but even Mercedes don't know how much Ferrari was sandbagging.
Lewis and Nico have both said that they think Ferrari have caught up with them. But it's...
They're going to say that. The art of war again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's something... what I didn't realise, it was only through watching something Ted Kravitz was talking about the other day, Ferrari essentially brought the same car to all the tests.
Mercedes didn't.
Yeah, Mercedes had different bits bolted on, and all the stuff Ferrari have got to bolt on the car, they're convinced it's going to work through the aero tests and things they've had. They're going to bolt it on in Australia.
So really, we'll know if Ferrari are any good early hours of Friday morning.
Well, the thing is, if you consider that the Ferrari in their sort of basic test package that they brought was 0.3, they think, off Mercedes, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was just, yeah.
They've got enough to close that gap.
0.3 can be made up by a significant aero step.
By getting rid of some sandbags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Vettel will be on pole in Australia.
That's your prediction.
That's your bold prediction.
Yeah.
My bold prediction is Rosberg for pole and the win.
Mm.
I think Rosberg has to keep his career alive, he has to either win the world championship or be within a hair's breadth of winning it at the last race.
Just so I know this for a fact, I haven't slipped into some sort of time rift, have I? Because this seems like something we said last year.
I'm going to say something that didn't get said this time last year for my bold prediction. Haas points.
I can see a Haas point.
I don't think we'll see as many retirements as we
said. I don't think it'll be both cars, though. I think it'll be half Haas.
Oh! Very good. Which half?
The Grosjean half.
Well, we don't know. We don't know his half from his helper. I think we'll see more cars starting than we saw last year.
Well, let's hope so. Was
fingers
it
crossed.
18,
yeah.
17
starters, was it?
Yeah.
In the end? Was it 22 we've got this year?
Yeah.
So, at the moment.
Yeah. At the moment, until somebody blows up on the way to the grid.
Or Sauber goes bust.
Yeah, or Sauber goes bust. Sauber are in Australia, but cannot afford to put their cars on the track.
So, McLaren. Are they going to make it to the end?
Well,
are they going to be at the back?
My bold prediction is a double point scoring for McLaren.
Ooh. I was going to say that.
They've said that they are going to be improving during the course of the... Oh, God, can we just play last year's... Australia preview.
Yeah. McLaren are going to improve during the season.
Yeah.
Are Mercedes ahead of Ferrari? We think Williams and Red Bull might be third. I'm forcing you around there somewhere.
It's deja vu all over again.
No, this time last year we thought Force India were...
Screwed.
We thought they were going to collapse.
Yeah. Force India are actually the surprise so far.
Yeah, the question about Force India this year is, Are they the best Mercedes that isn't Mercedes?
Yeah, how many sandbags have they got to throw out of the car before Australia?
Yeah, because I mean, we talked about this last week when we were sort of wrapping up the pre-season testing with some impressive times from them. Was that waving an oily rag in front of the fuel tank and using kit and soft tyres? But I don't know. Force India did improve a hell of a lot last year, especially on the aero side with the nostrils. And now I won't say effectively built a car round the concept of the nostrils, but it's not far off.
No, it seems to have worked for them. I'm surprised nobody else has followed it like as strongly as
they've all followed the size zero.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, because I mean, usually you get when one team brings in something completely radically different within a couple of months. Everybody on the grid does it.
Yeah.
Because Tyrrell were the first team to use the X-Wings. And by the end of that season, everybody had them.
You watch Mercedes turn up in Australia with nostrils.
I think it must be one of those things where if you go that way with it. I know when Force India were talking about the nostrils on it, they did actually say themselves, it wasn't a massive gain than to having the nostrils in the nose. It just worked particularly well for their aero package. Yeah.
But if you look at the shark nose on the Mercedes, that's got the inlet in there. So yeah. That's two teams with...
it's an S-duct, isn't it? There's a few teams with S-ducts.
Yeah, the Mercedes one is quite a lot bigger than everybody else's, though. So I think we're... You know, I think this season the main development that we'll end up seeing will be more air holes.
Mm. Air holes?
I don't just mean Lewis.
Air holes and making new inventive ways of having things hang on the car with as little carbon fibre hanging up, like holding them there, like Mercedes's front wing.
Yeah, obviously Haas won't be able to do that because it's been proved that you sit Roman Grosjean in the car and the nose falls off.
Yeah.
Whether it's his fault or what he ran into.
Yeah. Well, at least you're not quite Fernando Alonso circa 2012 when he nearly took his nose off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he hasn't killed anyone. Well, he hasn't tried to kill anyone for ages.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we'll see a solid performance from Force India at the start of this season.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to see what they can do. It's a shame that there's a lot of off-track issues affecting them.
What were we saying about Renault?
Really difficult to call.
Yeah.
I think they'll be lucky to get points in the first race.
I think they'll have a party if they score points in Australia.
But I think they'll be on the knocking on the door for points. They'll be up that end. I don't think they'll be at the back with Salva.
Yeah.
I mean the proved. I mean this is a yada yada evolution of last year's car, etc., which is what they all say. But last year's car became more competitive, especially when Pastor started driving it rather than aiming it at things.
Yeah, Pastor slowed down a bit. Oh, you're scoring points.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, that car started really well last year. You know the Lotus.
Mm.
The problem was it didn't have the drivers, and. That were willing to take advantage of the car, and then as the seasons drifted on, they just started dropping down the field.
They ran out of money to develop it, but yeah. You've just reminded me of something that Chris said about three or four races into last season. When
I'm scared now, what did I say?
You always get drivers that outdrive the car,
yes.
But at the start of last season. The Lotus was out-carring the driver.
Yes, it was. It was, yeah.
Yeah, because they had two liabilities behind the wheels last season.
Yeah, now they've got... Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I read as well that Renault are looking to hire 150 people for their Formula One team.
Well, they've hired one. They've just taken on another reserve driver.
I hear they're looking at hiring 149 people.
No, hang on, wait. 148. Yeah. They've just hired Jeff.
Yeah.
No, they're taking on a reserve driver, which they've already got one on loan from Mercedes. Esteban Ocon, the name of the new driver escapes me. And I don't have it written down because Renault don't send out press releases. subtle hint. Unless you speak French.
Subtle hint.
subtle hint. Late Sutar.
That's when he won, just staggers over to you with a broken wine bottle. Just give me a press release.
So,
Lewis Hamilton was unavailable for comment.
Yeah, he was too busy on his hoverboard. Now, I think Renault are going to struggle at first because we keep hashing over this, but it is a rush job and. Yeah. The hole in the back of the car where the engine goes was designed for a different shaped engine.
Yeah.
And what's the Renault going to look like?
Yellow, I hope.
Yeah, it's going to look a bit like a bee.
Well, I hope it looks a bit like the last Renault that we saw in Formula 1, the 2010 Renault, was it?
I hope it looks like the blue and yellow one that Alonso had.
I don't think that was
it won't be, because that was Mild 7, wasn't it?
The sponsorship.
Yeah. Although, the Formula E Renault is blue and yellow, very similar to Sauber.
Ooh.
He's getting excited. He's doing a dance.
Could go for the E-Dams colours, yeah.
Yeah, because it's very similar to Sauber in that it's completely anonymous because none of us except Dan really watch Formula E.
that goes for most of the people in the world.
Yeah, apparently there was a race this weekend.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, I missed
it. Who won?
I think they changed it after after the
riveting.
End.
Must be riveting.
Who won? One of them.
They all broke down.
Yeah, it rained, so it wasn't safe. Who else do we think is going to who's going to surprise us this weekend?
Kimi Raikkonen.
In what way?
In a good way. I think he's been threatening for a long, long time to pick up the performance in his car. Just I think it's
he has to do something this year because he didn't keep his seat last year. Bottas gave it back to him.
Yeah.
So
and next year there's quite a lot of available contenders.
He needs to be a tenth off Sebastian. No, he can't be faster. If he's faster than, and that's a one-way ticket out of the team before the end of the season.
The new radio regulations do let the teams say to the drivers if there's a critical problem with the car, and we all know what Ferrari are like for saying, Rubens, your brake failure, ease off a bit.
He needs to Barrichello it like a boss this year.
Yeah, we need Kimi to see just how good he can be as Seb's wingman. Can Kimi step up to the plate and put in a decent performance? He did well towards the end of last year.
Mm.
He's got to carry that on into 2016.
If they can do it though, like if Seb's up there and Raikkonen's up scoring points and podiums with him, I do think it's possible that Ferrari will keep him on next year because.
He's a consistent fourth,
and he gets on with Sebastian so well, you know, inside the team and stuff,
and he's popular with the fans.
The marketing potential from him is massive, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah, but, because he can do all this promotion for stuff.
Yeah,
never see him off TV. He's on every advert.
Kimmy, what do you think of this watch?
It's okay.
Kimmy, what do you think of these sunglasses?
It's okay.
Kimmy, what do you think about this chalk ice?
It's all right, I like it.
one man media machine. So, if anyone listening has any bold predictions for the race this weekend, as we've been scrabbling around for a new feature to replace the pasta disaster predictor, drop us a tweet at 3Legs4Wheels.
Yep.
Put bold prediction. We'll look out for how yours get on during the race and we'll see how we did on the podcast.
Yeah, obviously don't bother tweeting us after the race. We can tell when your tweets come in.
Yes.
We're not going to have a guess at who's going to get pole and win in the race.
I've done that already.
What?
Dan has, but I was just about to come to that.
Oh, I thought you were wrapping up.
No, I was interacting.
It sounds like you were wrapping up.
No, that was... I've been reading manuals
people,
on how to do this.
People have stopped now and they're listening to the next podcast.
No, they're not.
They thought you were wrapping
no,
up.
No, they're not, because we haven't finished yet.
I know, we know that, but they don't.
Well, they haven't heard the closing music yet, so they know we're not finished.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't listen to the closing music. I listen to loads of podcasts, and when I know they're gonna finish, I'll just skip to the next one.
What's you?
I don't like goodbyes, Flood. I don't like goodbyes.
Anyway, we digress.
Yeah, frequently. At a professional level. So, predictions for pole and race win. Lee, you can start.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
If we weren't recording this at your house, you'd be getting sent... In fact, no, you are getting sent up. Go on, then.
Oh, I've been that mad.
Your biscuits didn't turn up on time.
I'm going to bring funding. I'll be fine. I think Sebastian Vettel's going to get pole. And I can't choose between Vettel and Hamilton for the race win. I'm going to say Vettel.
I am going to go for Rosberg pole and Vettel win.
I'm going for Rosberg pole and win because he's got everything to lose if he can't do that this year.
Yep, and usually he grasps defeat with both hands.
Game on, Nico!
I'm going for Rosberg pole, Hamilton win.
You see, none of those were massively bold predictions, which is why I said get the bold predictions in before we make the predictable predictions.
Pole and win for Ferrari is pretty... Come on.
Oh, there's always a chance it's Ferrari.
Quite bold.
Boldish. Bold light.
Oh, okay. Fucking Mana pole.
Pascal Wehrlein.
Sauber win.
Pascal
McLaren. McLaren second and third. Before Fernando.
Careful now.
Before, and that will kickstart Fernando's championship run through the season. It's not
there's
the
a
bold.
Fine line between bold predictions
a
and
bullshit.
The lady. People that are now still listening will wish they'd switched off.
My bold prediction is McLaren points. Double McLaren points.
You do realise there's somebody sat there with the Skybet app going, my God, he's right.
Yeah, I've already said mine. Haas to get in the points.
Yeah, my bold prediction is a double McLaren points finish.
Which brings us on nicely to another feature that we actually discussed. Is Kevin Magnussen actually any good? We'll find out.
We will find out this Sunday.
Tune in this time next week. Yeah.
The same can be said for Julian Palmer as well.
Same can be said for Harry Anto.
Yeah.
Will Rio dance across the sand?
Will.
Well, gravel, but
he took a few excursions that way during testing. But
does Pascal know the right line? That was terrible. Sorry. Yes,
that was stretching it.
Yeah.
Some interesting debuts this weekend, and it'll be interesting to see how the new drivers do get on.
Yeah.
I think have we covered everything now to your satisfaction?
All I can think about just when we mentioned McLaren there, I thought how awful it's going to be. If both McLarens go out in Q1.
It's possible.
That's something we're hoping doesn't happen, but...
It's the great unknown with this qualifying. They're equally likely to go out in Q1 or get pole.
I still think fucking McLaren's the great unknown at the minute. They seem to look better in testing, and then...
Well, apart from when Fernando's in the car.
Yeah, but whenever you hear someone talk about it, like an F1 expert... They see, you know, it's all doom and gloom, and isn't everything in a terrible state?
Yeah, but isn't everything in a terrible state compared to the McLaren that we know and love from when they used to win everything?
I don't know. I think anything from where they were last year would be looked at as an improvement, but people don't seem to be sort of citing any improvement. They just seem to be saying it's all bad.
McLaren's fifth and sixth.
Fifth and sixth. I'd be happy with fifth and sixth.
I'd be elated if McLaren finished fifth and sixth.
Yeah.
It would be bloody good to see.
Yeah.
So we will find out from, well, race time is race starts at 5 o'clock UK time. Sunday morning. I think it's later this year, isn't it?
Slightly,
an hour
later.
Yeah, it used to be a 4 o'clock start, didn't it?
Have the clocks changed or not changed or something?
No, they just changed the time of the race. I think Australia changes the clocks the same weekend that we do in the UK.
Yeah.
At the end of the month. The US has already changed.
Yes.
Which is why I missed the first hour of the IndyCar race last night.
Yeah.
Because it said it started at 1 o'clock local time, which I didn't realise was 5 o'clock.
Oops.
And not 6 o'clock. So I turned it on at six and it's like, oh, they've already done 50 odd laps. And remember Derek Daly?
No.
Irish Williams driver from the 80s. His son was leading. He finished 18th. And Max Chilton also didn't win. Got overtaken quite a lot.
Juan Pablo Montoya?
Juan Pablo Montoya did win.
Did win. Juan Pablo.
Well
done.
Yeah, that good old Max driver. Total in joke for anyone that's listening to this on the Isle of Man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right, we'll bugger off now.
Yeah, cool.
Because I'm going to need to readjust my sleep patterns.
Lee doesn't like goodbyes, so we'll say see you later.
We'll say see you later, and don't forget to listen to the live blog, or read the live blog.
Yeah.
And we should have the comments working, so if you want to say anything to us during the race, you can still get us on Twitter at Three Legs, Four Wheels.
Absolutely.
And don't think of this as goodbye. Just think of it as an opportunity to say hello next week.
Yes.
Oh.
That was nice.
Wasn't that by Michael Bolt?
Maybe.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. See you. No. Oh.